recorders, and at this time, may we all stand and pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now is the time for public comment. If anyone wishes to speak on any item that's not on the agenda this evening. If there's no one here, well, now we will go to, let's see. I'll ask our CEO, Mr. Robinson, comment.
Yes, we do have a request to pull B1 for a presentation. Patty Hill Thomas will be doing that. I would also ask that items C1 and C2 be pulled for comments from our public works director.
Who wishes to speak on those that are pulled?
Patty.
Okay. Yes.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, Patty Hill Thomas, and Mark Lozier from the Chief Executive Office. We'd like to be clear in our recommendations on item B1, so with your permission, we have a short PowerPoint. To be certain, Supervisor Withrow pointed out to us that we weren't as clear as we could have been in our agenda item, so we certainly appreciate the opportunity to inform you and the public of the recommendation and the fiscal impact before you today. Before you this evening is a recommendation, a rare one, we have rarely done that, to reject all of the bids that we received for the very minor renovations we need to make at the Public Health Services Agency Public Health Lab to receive some important equipment that will be used by our public health office in the detection of illnesses and viruses in our community. You may recall that this is a project that is all about purchasing and installing a system, the PCR system, polymeric chain reaction. Dr. Walker could explain that far better than I, at the Public Health Services Agency current location on Scenic at our Public Health Lab. This is an important tool that the state has provided funding that will provide biological, chemical, and genetic testing capabilities to public health and increase the public health surveillance and response to emerging threats. We have new state-of-the-art equipment and a very old building. So in order to accommodate the new equipment and use it effectively, we need to do some very minor renovations within the existing office space. In that regard, we'd like to review with you in more detail the funding for this project. This is a total project of $376,586. Funded primarily by Homeland Security grant funding of a little over $281,000, by over $66,000 in public facility fees, and $28,569 in fund balance or savings from previous years in our public health budget. Where that clarity is more important and why we're making this presentation to you this evening is how would those monies be spent and how did the bids receive not consistent with our budget. There's many facets that make up a construction project, and it's important for us to be clear that the construction cost is one portion of every project, but there are other expenses such as architect or project oversight, printing of plans, purchasing of equipment, fixed assets, data and communication lines, and others. So of this total project of $376,000, as you can see in this chart, and we're going to begin to use these charts in all of our construction projects to be sure that we're really clear about the sources of funds and the uses of funds. We have $8,412 in our project oversight, that's our CEO staff. We have $13,833 in all of the other costs for professionals and printing, publications and bidding expenses. We have smaller amounts, $200, and then finally $7,555 of other expenses associated with the project. The allocation within the total project budget for construction is $65,000, and the largest part of this particular project, which is very unusual, is the actual equipment, $281,585. In the past, your board has already approved the plans and specs for this. You authorized us to notice and invite bids, which we opened on the 19th of January, and to return to your board with a recommendation. All five proposals opened for the first time in many, many years exceeded the allocation within that project budget for construction only. That allocation within that total $376,000 budget for construction only, not the other costs such as architect or equipment, was $65,000. The lowest bid received was $84,500. So our portion of the project budget for construction only, our lowest bid exceeded that by nearly $20,000. And while that may not sound like a lot of money, we treat every one of those dollars as it's really precious to our community and to our organization. And while we appreciate and have notified all the bidders that we appreciate their investment in bidding the project, we believe that there can be modifications, simplifications, and cost savings that the architect, at his expense, which is what's required in our agreement with the architect, could produce a new set of bid documents, and we can lower the cost of the project and simplify it so that it does not exceed our hope. And our goal is the amount allocated within the project budget for construction. There are some deductive alternates now included in case the economy or the bid environment says to us it's going to cost more than your engineer suggests it will, so that we can reduce that cost. So it is our recommendation to you this evening that you authorize us to reject the bids already received, to redesign the project by the architect, which is required within his agreement, and bring that back to your board for approval and rebidding with the goal of completing the project successfully by calendar year end. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions from the board?
You know, I just, Patty, I appreciate you doing this, and I know these aren't big numbers we were talking about, but I just think it's important for our employees who are cutting constantly and for the public to know the due diligence and the hard work that, I mean, that you guys are doing to try to save money here. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you for the opportunity to clarify that.
Does anyone in the audience have a comment? If not, we'll bring it back to the board. And before we go into the complete consent calendar, we Supervisor DeMartini wishes to discuss C2.
No,
myself.
I did not.
Who was that?
Me.
Oh, it was you. Pardon me.
Yes.
Wrong supervisor.
Okay.
I'd ask Public Works Director Machado to come forward.
Good evening.
Good evening. And mine is more, there's a couple of issues, a couple of things. Number one, on the widening or putting in turn lanes, I think we call it the channelization project on Hatch Road, there's an overcrossing with BNSF that we've been working on trying to get completed or in my tenure on the board. Can you give me a status update on that?
Sure. That's a project that's adjacent to this one, so it is in the same area. The project you're referencing is the signalization of Hatch in Santa Fe. That one of the key elements is the crossing at the BNSF Railroad. Some time ago, actually more than a year ago, we completed the bridge replacement and widening. We have acquired nearly all the right-of-way for the signalization project, and at this point we're waiting and working with BNSF so that they could complete their design and move forward. And that part has taken quite a long time. I think it's upwards of 2 years now that we've been working with BNSF to get that design done and to for them to implement it, and at that point we would signalize that intersection.
So BNSF is the one that has to do all the design standards, and it has nothing to do with the county. We can't speed the process up.
That is correct.
Okay. And on this whole project, I guess it's all through PFF fees, the channelization project, and I know no one is ever happy, but Hatch Road is an important road to both District 1 and District 2, and Supervisor O'Brien and I were talking, but as much as we don't like it, here's a success story. I know that the road The level of service, it's below standard, what we could we consider standard, and it's necessary. But along with our partner cities, it's always good to be reminded when a project, as unhappy as we are with the PFF, but this is a good project that we should all be happy with and working together to complete.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the board have any comments on C2? Anyone from the audience have any comments? If not, at this time, may I have a proposal to move the consent calendar?
I move that we accept the consent calendar.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Then moved and passed.
At this time, it is my pleasure and privilege to present to you our incoming Director of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, Dr. Madeline Schleffer. As she comes forward, I'd like to note that Madeline, who is the assistant director at BHRS at this time, was selected after the conclusion of a nationwide search. She was not handpicked for this job, and she competed just like everybody else who had an interest in the position. She survived, and I would use the word advisedly, she survived a number of interviews and interrogations, I understand, during different times, and we are very happy and think we'll be very, very satisfied with the leadership that Madeline can provide to us. So I do present to you Madeline Schleffer.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate this opportunity to serve in this new and challenging capacity. I want to thank everyone. Even though it was a rigorous process, I think it was a very good process, and I look forward to working with everybody here. I also want to acknowledge Denise Hunt, who leaves behind a strong legacy and a strong department that should help us weather the difficulties ahead. So thank you all again. I'm looking forward to working with you.
Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Thank you. At this time, then, we'll go to a scheduled matter. At 6:35, public hearing to close the 30-day public comment period to consider approval of the amendments to fiscal year 2007-2012. This time we have Aaron Byrne. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman Monteith and supervisors. Each year we have the opportunity to present to you the Community Development Block Grant Program. We are now designated as an urban county by HUD. It's just a definition change. Last time was a consortium, but aside from the new term, there's no change. Our first item is relating to the Neighborhood Stabilization Program Funding 3. It requires an amendment to the annual action plan as well as a consolidated plan. It's part of the Dodd-Frank Act of 2010, and our urban county is eligible for approximately $4.175 million, and the program is going to utilize these funds to acquire up to 28 units. The funds have to be used to serve those at 120% of the area median income or below. 25% of our overall funds, approximately just over $1 million, has to be set aside to serve those at 50% of the area median income. And those are for long-term renters or rent-to-own opportunities. An example of an area median income for a family of one is $50,000, and for four, it's approximately $71,000. The activities can be utilized for program income, acquisition of foreclosed housing units, sale of NSP units that have been acquired for first-time homebuyers, as well as rehabilitating, and in some cases, depending on the neighborhood, reconstructing those units. We can also utilize the funds, a small portion for down payment assistance, to help those that need assistance on top of their primary loan to get into the unit. The goals for the program are to stabilize neighborhoods whose viability has been affected by the foreclosure crisis, as well as rehabilitate homes to mitigate the negative effects of foreclosures. It also provides opportunities for first-time home buyers, and with this program, they're required to go through a home buyer counseling certified course that HUD certifies. The third area is It's a clear benefit to local contractors. There's a benefit for local contractors. Each reconstruct or major rehabilitation assists approximately 8 to 10 contractors and subcontractors per job, from carpeting all the way to plumbing, electrical, and so forth. The program is focusing on three phases. Phase one is the non-program income phase. Whenever a unit is resold to a first-time home buyer, it creates program income, and that'll then be focused on the phase two area. And then if there's any funds left over with subsequent purchases, then we focus on Keys and Salida. A couple examples of neighborhoods that we'll be focusing on. The new program requires deep targeting, and they have a mapping tool that kind of pretty much prompts us to go to certain areas, and there's two areas that we just highlight as examples, the airport neighborhood. And criteria that you look at is number of properties in foreclosure, percentage of vacant properties, unemployment rates, and percentage of fall in value in the homes in these areas. There's just a couple examples. Airport, as I mentioned. And the other area is Park Lawn, the South Modesto area. And also today in the paper, there's an example of a successful family, an individual in the town of Keys, Nancy Anderson, and she's quoted here. She's happy too. She gets to have a place for her dogs as well. Not in the house, but in the backyard. But it's a pretty exciting story. She's was homeless, lived in a shed for a while, and is now a homeowner because of the home that we purchased was such an affordable price that she was able to make the monthly payments with Social Security payments. Today's staff recommends taking action on items 1 through 5 as outlined in the Board of Supervisors staff report, which includes approval of the fiscal year 2007 through 2012 consolidated plan substantial amendment and approval of the fiscal year 2010-2011 annual action plan that amends to incorporate the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 3. And if there's any questions, I'll attempt to ask those, answer those, or my staff could help out.
Anyone on the board have questions or comments? If not, I'll open it to the public, and we have two people who've asked to speak. We have Maria Corona.
Hi, folks. Long time no see. Hello, my name is Maria Sofia Corona, and I'm with California Rural Legal Assistance, Inc., and I'm here to comment on the CDBG annual action plan being approved, and I'm speaking specifically on behalf of our client, Maria Garibaldo, for the record, and our client basically wants me to communicate the desire that the community of Park Lawn be considered for future CDBG funding, and that the county continue to prioritize infrastructure projects connected to public health hazards and safety concerns. We know that that decision is not being made tonight, but would be in the future as part of the consolidated plan. We just wanted to reiterate those concerns that we've shared in the past. Thank you.
Thank you. Also wishing to speak is Arlene Hernandez.
Good afternoon. My name is Arlene Hernandez, and I'm with the Parkland United Neighbors. And I just basically want to come up here and thank the people for adding our neighborhood to the NSP3 funding, and also just wanted to ask for your support with the CDBG funding and let you know that the community is still willing to continue working with the city and the county to continue those efforts to get public service. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll now bring it. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? If not, I'll bring it back to the board. Any board members having comments or questions at this time? No comments or questions?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? And pass. Now we will go on to our 640. On the public hearing, which Angelo Freitas And Aaron Farron.
I'm still Aaron Farron. Good evening. Part of the actual annual action plan also for 11-12, we actually have an opportunity each year for new funding. There's an allocation set aside for an urban county, and we're an eligible recipient for those funds with the submission of this plan. We do have to amend our consolidated plan, though, for 2007 through 2012 to allow us to add the city of Houston. Every 3 years, we notice those cities that aren't within the urban county. In this case, it's Houston and the city of Riverbank, and this year the city of Houston elected to join. So that's part of the amendment requirement for this year that we're bringing to you this evening. For these funds, we are able to assist those with low or moderate income, as well as help to eliminate or prevent slum or blight type conditions. And if there's an urgent need, as an example, the 1997 flood, we can also assist with these funds and set those aside. The allocation estimate for this coming year is approximately $2.6 million for CDBG, Community Development Block Grant Funds, and just under $110,000 for Emergency Solution Grant Funds. The term has been changed from Emergency Shelter Grant to Solution Grants. They're now focusing more on homeless prevention or rapid rehousing than just shelters alone. And it's partly in light of the foreclosure crisis. The funding breakdown recommendation this evening is set aside approximately $370,000 for administration. We set aside approximately 10% for public services. We're required to set aside funds for fair housing activities to alleviate tenant-landlord disputes. And we also set aside about approximately $40,000 for economic development and workforce development activities in partnership with entities like Computer Tutor to create workforce development opportunities. And economic development funds are set aside as leverage funds to help employ someone with a nonprofit in the local community. The remaining $1.9 million is broken up based on poverty and population guidelines, and here you see the breakdown with our six partner cities as well as the county unincorporated areas. The 10% we set aside for public services, it ranges from services to seniors, food programs, youth programs, and special need programs as well. And here's the breakdown of the recommendations today. Some funders got more than one grant because they served different areas within our community and had different programs. Emergency Solution Grant funds are set aside primarily for shelter services, homeless prevention, or rapid rehousing. And these are the four entities here, as well as approximately 7.5% is set aside for administration. This year, during fiscal year 11-12, will be the first year that we will be the only urban county member with a direct contract with the lead entity, which is the city of Turlock. With that, we'll be responsible for administering the funds for our six partner cities. And those funds will be utilized for first-time homebuyer programs, housing rehabilitation programs, and partnerships for affordable housing opportunities as they arise. Our estimation for allocation is approximately $1.5 million, and we're waiting on our program lead to provide final determination on how it will be distributed, but traditionally it's been based on poverty and population. This evening, staff recommends taking action on items 1 through 7 as outlined on the Board of Supervisors staff report, which includes approval of the fiscal year 2011 and 12 action plan and fiscal year 2007 and 2012 consolidated plan amendment to add the City of Houston to the urban county and accept the budget recommendations. Thank you.
Does anyone on the board have further questions or concerns?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I have one question. Based on this being entitlements, by adding the population of Houston into our group, is our amount of money going to go up by the proportionately?
Yes, Supervisor O'Brien, traditionally it does. It goes up a small amount. It may stay about flat, though, because the federal government's recommending reducing these funds, but overall with the addition of Houston, we're hoping it stays the same or goes up between 2.5% to 5%.
But it's all based on population?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you.
County Council Doran?
I have a question.
Okay.
Why would Riverbank go it alone? I went to the council meeting in Houston last night, and there were 100 reasons why they would want to get inside the umbrella. Why would someone go alone? Is there an advantage?
With the city of Riverbank, they've traditionally been pretty successful competitively applying through HCD with their home funds. And they did primarily housing programs and not really infrastructure-related programs. But we did provide them information, and statistically, annually, year by year, they'd be better off overall as part of the consortium. And maybe next time we'll approach them again, they might be amiable next time. But overall, they would have had more funds under the consortium umbrella.
Thank you. Any additional questions?
I can just shed some light on that. It started way back when I was mayor of Riverbank, and we were successful, very successful at the beginning, and over time it hasn't been as successful, but it's my fault, Supervisor.
Successful, it wasn't your fault. You were there.
Well, with that, I'll open it to the public. Anyone wishes to make comments? If not, I'll bring it back to the board. Again, any comments or a motion to approve?
A motion to approve 7 staff recommendations.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Pass.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time we have correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the California Department of Veterans Affairs regarding the Veterans Services Program in Stanislaus County for the period of July 1, 2009 through June 30, 2010.
Referred to the Area Agency on Aging and Veteran Services.
This board has received a notice from the San Joaquin River Group regarding their 2010 annual technical report for the San Joaquin River Agreement Vernalis Adaptive Management Program.
Referred to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Risk Management Division. At this time, does anyone, Board of Supervisors, have a report?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Last week, I started receiving phone calls from property owners in my district and Supervisor Chiesa's about a proposed PG&E gas pipeline. And as I started to research this, I couldn't find anything about it. The county didn't know about it. And so I was unable to answer their questions. Last Thursday, we found out that they do have a route from Bradbury Road to Crow's Landing for a 16-inch natural gas pipeline. Also, today I've learned that PG&E has not yet contacted all the property owners that this line would cross. And our public works director just found out about it last week, and it crosses a dozen roads, county right away. I would just like to see if the county could invite PG&E here to explain what their project is. It affects about 50 different property owners and, you know, in at least 12 places in the county right away where this pipeline has to go across. And I haven't got really enough details from PG&E to even answer the property owner's questions. So if we could ask them if they, I guess we can't force them to do it, but I would like them to give a presentation to show us what their intentions are.
Yeah, we would be happy to contact PG&E and ask them to bring a representative to a scheduled presentation.
Thank you. With that, we'll have a legislative, physical, and management report from Chief Executive Officer.
You will have a very short legislative fiscal and management report. the state budget is still actively in play in Sacramento. As we know, realignment is the topic of the day in discussions on the state budget, as is the proposed continuation of a number of tax measures that are currently in place throughout California. The Legislative Analyst's Office released, I believe, today a list of what the probable outcome would be if this measure didn't pass, and that's available online, I believe, on the McClatchy website for any wishing to take a closer look at what the probable impacts would be relative to these changes. I would also note that based on the number of questions coming out of Washington, D.C., it does appear that the earmark process will not be available to local communities, at least for the next 2 years. That's all I have.
Okay. The board sitting as the Stanislaus County In-Home Supportive Service, IHSS Public Authority, I'd like to call it to order. And I'd like consent calendar. That's the approval of minutes of February 8th.
Motion to approve.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 All in favor, no. Passed. Okay, correspondence, none. Public hearing, none. Agenda, none. Is there anyone in the public comments on this issue at this time? Open to the public. If there are no comments, this portion of the meeting is adjourned. Going back to the Board of Supervisors meeting, and now it is adjourned. Thank you very much.